Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm here. And you know, Bishop called. He knows that when he calls, and I told him, just call, and if I don't have an engagement there, I'll come. I don't care what kind of time it is or what you want me to do, just let me know. But I consider him a friend of mine, and I'm just, he and Serena, thank you so much. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's open the Bibles, because I'm going to get right into the Word tonight. What time y'all got to go home? Praise God. Amen. Let's go over to the place that we've been using since we've started, and that's found in Psalm chapter 115. Okay. We're going to flow. Amen. Who said that? Who said that? Whoever said that, come in. Come in. Come on down. I got $100 for you. Praise God. Amen. Bless you. Here, buy yourself some gas. Did I hear somebody over here say that? No, I didn't think so. Okay. Okay. Now, when you're broke, you can't do that. Thank God you are not broke. Amen. Okay, let's look at this. I've got a ways to go here tonight, so I'm going to just kind of cut right through this. And one of the things I found is, he said, above all, get understanding. So we need some teaching as well as preaching. And it's very easy for me to get up here and preach because there's a preaching anointing on this pulpit here. I'm going to tell you that right now. There is no doubt about that. And you all have heard, I mean, dynamic word. I mean, that's one of the things that Bishop is known for is amen. He is known for that. He and I had lunch today, and I'm telling you, I tried to pull everything out of him that he had in him, praise God. Because he's been a lot of places. He's seen a lot of things. He's talked to a lot of people. He's got a lot of wisdom as a result of that. So I'm telling you, you need to honor the gifts that God has given you in this church. Because it is powerful. Very powerful. I said very powerful. Very powerful. Honor this gift. Okay. All right. Let's look at this. This is starting here at Psalm chapter 115. Now, it says here in verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord's, the heaven, even the heavens of the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. I want to do a couple of things because I want to move right on this time. This particular scripture, what we're finding out is that God gave mankind dominion, gave him dominion. He said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, he said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth and every creep and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Over in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So here again, God was passing on this to Adam, something to Adam. Now, when he said, he let us make man in our image after our likeness, I heard one man preach this, and it just stuck in my spirit. He said, when God breathed into Adam, and he received life inside of him, and he stood up, angels thought they were seeing double. That's how much he made him like himself. And also, he gave this man dominion. He duplicated himself and gave this man dominion. Now, we know God is God. God is the creator. He's the creator, and we're the clay. We're the ones that he has fashioned and formed. So, but this man, God blessed them and said to them. Now, a lot of times what we think is when he said God blessed them and said to them, we're thinking he is speaking to him, but he wasn't there. When he blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, he was transferring power to this man. And so now he's transferring the same power to this man that he used to create the earth, that Adam now is going to create a garden everywhere he went, because he was put in this spot called Eden. And Eden was planted by God, and God got the seeds for Eden from heaven. And Eden now is a copy of heaven on earth. On earth. Now that is God's plan. God's plan is that man would live like God lives. And that as we look at this whole place of Eden, it's a place of abundance, a place of voluptuous living. It was a place of extravagance. It was a place of luxury, this Eden that God had created for mankind. Now this blessing that is on man, that he placed on man, is able to make fruitful, make something multiply, also to replenish the earth. Now, replenish is a word that you might want to keep in mind. It means to perpetually renew and resupply. To perpetually renew and resupply. One of the things that's happening today is that danger has increased because of the curse. Because it's not global warming, it's a curse. And as a result of that, the blessing is the only thing that can answer it. The blessing is the only thing. That's why the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because we're the ones with the blessing. Say amen to that. That wasn't enough intelligence in Egypt for Pharaoh to avoid the famine. He had to get a man named Joseph. And Joseph made it so that when the famine came, they had plenty. Well, this is the idea of the blessing, that blessing is on each one of God's people. And that blessing is activated by faith. And I keep getting back to this blessing for some reason. That's not in my notes tonight. For some reason, I'm getting back to it. But I want you to see this, because when Jesus preached, he preached the blessing. See? The Pharisees preached the law. But he preached the blessing. In Galatians, you can go in and see it. And so as he preached this, he was on the shoreline preaching. And here was people pushing on him. And so here was Simon and his crew that had just come in from a night of fishing, and they were washing their nets. And he asked Simon, could he get into his boat? Now, how many of you know that wasn't any coincidence that he got Simon's boat? How many of you know there's no coincidence that you're in here tonight? Something good is about to happen to you. And so what happened was, he gets in the boat, and he asked them to push out a little from the shore, and he sat down and taught the people. Well, when he taught the people, he then finished and turned to Simon and said, now you launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Draught is a great increase. Now Simon responded by saying, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Notice toil. Toil didn't appear in man's life until he sinned. That's when toil came up. But how many of you know we've been redeemed from the curse of toil? So let me make an announcement that your days of toiling are over. So here he said, we've toiled all night. Then he said this, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll launch out. And when he did, he enclosed a great multitude of fish so that the net broke. Now understand, he didn't toil for this. He gathered this. And I'm telling you, you're going into a season of gathering. And so what happened when he gathered it, he filled his boat and it almost began to sink. And now he called for his partners with him and they filled up their boat. Their boat almost began to sink. Now, watch this. Suppose there were 50 more boats in the harbor. Could he have called for them and they get filled up? Yeah, because in the kingdom, there is a supply that won't run out. Come on, you got to get used to this now. There is an inexhaustible supply where you are. And you are in the kingdom. Once you get born again, you are in the kingdom of God. And where you are, you won't run out. Say amen to that. You see, God had to teach him that when he brought him into the wilderness. Notice what he said. He said, all right, now here's what I want to do. I'm going to rain manna down, but tell him, don't take enough for 2 days. Just take enough for 1 day, except on the day before the Sabbath. He said, just take enough for 1 day. But if you keep it overnight and try to keep it and save it till tomorrow, it's going to get worms in it and it's going to stink in your tent. See what he was trying to do? He was trying to let them know, wait a minute, you only got this running out thinking in Egypt. You only got, that's a product of the slavery that you were under. But now you're free. You're under Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and that now you will never run. I said, you will never run out. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lends to the Lord, and whatever he has given, will the Lord repay him again. Come on now. So you can't give out given to the poor. And notice what he said next. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Keep going. Good measure. Come on. Press down. Come on. Shaking together. Come on. Run it over. Come on. Till men give into your bosom. I'm telling you, you can't get out. You can't go broke any kind of way. So the days of your going broke are over. You will never be broke another day in your life. Now, nothing in the kingdom works if you don't believe it. So you got to believe what the Bible said. If the Bible says you won't run out, you won't run out. Somebody say amen somewhere. So here is Peter. He pulls in. A boat sinking, net-breaking load of fish. So much till he came in, threw himself at Jesus' knees, and said, away from me, I'm a sinful man. Now notice, as long as he was toiling, the fish ran. But the moment he operated in the blessing, the fish came. I'm telling you, invention's about to come. Come on now, come on. Contracts are about to come. Come on, come on. Help me now. Can I preach this here tonight? Can I? This is your season. I said, this is your season. Did you receive that? I said, this is, oh, Lord have mercy. Now, I got to teach. Y'all sit down. I got to teach here. So, what I'm saying is Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of who? Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So faith is key. Your destiny is always faith defined. So you've got to have faith to reach where God is telling you to go. Say amen to that. Amen. The devil knows it's one thing he's got to fight. He's got to fight your faith. He knows he's got anybody that doesn't have faith, the devil knows he's no match for him. So the devil knows that he'll take them, he'll beat them, he'll destroy, he can come in and stop them anytime. But if you've got faith, I said, if you've got faith, you are connected with unlimited power. So the devil fears faith. He comes after you. He's not after you. I know you're cute and all that, but he's not after you. He's after the faith that is carried with you. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, what I'm saying here is this whole idea of the blessing, and it's coming on our lives, and that God wants us blessed, and that he planted in the Garden of Eden, he planted this heaven on earth. And now this heaven on earth is supposed to spread. Now, when Jesus came in, what he came in to do is to get back that blessing and also everything that mankind had lost through the fall, Jesus came to recover it. Say amen to that. Amen. So what we're here to do is to, we are to recover everything that Jesus has also redeemed. Now, what we said about it, this is the last two times that we've been talking, is that Satan would like for a person to forget about the provision or all the promises and just get glad that they got saved and say, well, I'm saved, thank God, when we all get to heaven. No, he wants you to forget about the stuff. He wants to keep the stuff because he knows, he's read over in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. I'd like to read that for you. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. Here's what he says. He says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now notice what he said. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, God never intended for us to be the borrower. Say amen to that. Amen. He said that we'd be the head and not the tail. Come on. The lender and not the borrower. So God intended for us to have plenty. Let's go over to one more place. And this is over in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Now, what is he saying here? He is saying, wait a minute, something's wrong here. The folk that should be on the horse are acting like slaves. Come on, the folks that should be the slaves are sitting up on top of the horse. And God is saying this is evil. And I think a lot of this is where the church has been, because one of the things that has happened in the church is that the church has been somewhat dependent on the world. I'm coming home now. Has been somewhat dependent on the world. And God wants you and I to imitate Jesus, where Jesus never depended on the world for anything. Now, I want you to see this, because over in Jeremiah chapter 17, look what he says in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabit it. In other words, a salt land is a land where nothing grows. It's a land where a person's life is fruitless. And I'm saying God never intended for you to be fruitless. He intended for you to be fruitful. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, notice what he said. Cursed is a man that trusteth in man whose heart departs from the Lord. Now, I want you to see that, because that's the indication of seduction. You see, seduction, he seduced Eve. In other words, it's bit by bit. it's just a little bit today, and then a little bit tomorrow, and then a little bit the next day, and a little bit the next day. Say, so, are you following what I'm saying? And what he tried to do is get us to depend on the government. Get us to depend on somebody's handout. Come on, get us, come on, to have to depend. And God don't want us depend on anybody except him. Faith demands that God not only be your source, but he be your only source. Come on, I'm gonna say that again. Faith demands that God not only be your source, but your only source. So notice what the enemy's job is, to seduce you away. But he says this as a result of that seduction. He says in verse 6, he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Now, what is he saying there? The more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. I'll say it again. The more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. You see, the enemy doesn't want you to get light. I call light, light, it's revelation, it's understanding. And God gives you that. But God, you can't serve two masters. Come on now, come on. So the more you depend on the world, the less revelation you get from the kingdom. And what you need to do is, wait a minute, God is my source. And trust God and let the full light of his word come in. Because whenever light comes in, your struggle is over. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you got, folks, let me tell you, when light comes in, your struggle is over. When we were there taking ownership of a shopping mall in Forest Park. Now, this is a huge shopping mall. So we're taking ownership of it. And what happened, God gave it to me. He said, I want you to buy that mall. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. That's Mark 11, 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. There's nothing in that verse about money. So he said, all right, so I said, wow, how am I going to do that? Well, he gave me a scripture. And the scripture that he gave me comes out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. That every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So what happened now is I got to believe for this. So I started meditating that word. What does meditation do? It transforms your belief. It changes your belief into what God would have you to believe and have you to spiritually experience. Say amen to that. Lord, have mercy. Am I getting too deep for you? All right. So what happened is I said, okay, all right. So I start meditating that scripture. The more I meditated that scripture, the more my mind got changed because I was in kind of a shortage mentality. And I was thinking of things that I could afford. And many times when you start dreaming, you got to watch yourself. Don't be trying to put money up against your dream. Don't look at your pocketbook when it's time to dream. Because your pocketbook will try to bring your dream down. Come on now. So what happened was I began to meditate that scripture. And all of a sudden, I began to expand on the inside. So three things are affected when you begin to transform your thinking or renew your mind. One is your boundaries, how far you can see. It almost like something happens and you get a breakthrough seeing. You can see something that you never saw before. Also, the next thing that happened is your decisions change. Because when you can see something, then you can make a different decision. Say amen to that. And then the third thing that happens when you meditate is your personal recognition system becomes affected. In other words, you were driving and you were going to get your brand new car and you got your new car and here you are riding down the street because nobody has a car like this. This is the most unique car that I've ever seen. And you pull up at the first traffic light and there's a car just like yours. Well, why didn't you see it before? Because your personal recognition system wasn't alert to that kind of car. Say amen to that. So all of a sudden you see resources and opportunities that you never saw before. So then I meditated, all right? So now I'm going after that shopping mall. So I had to believe God. I mean, this was believing, 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 believing. And then what happened was we had technically purchased it, but it hadn't closed yet. But we were going to have services in there because it was all done. It was just some paperwork and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, the village that it was in, they came and called me and said, Dr. Winston, we voted and we have decided that you cannot have church services in that shopping mall. Now, the mall was so big, we were going to use an area that was huge as a church. Now, we had thousands of people, and we had closed the place where we were having services, and now we're going to have service in this new place. And we were just, we had gotten a whole, I mean, lots of chairs, so forth and so on, because it was a celebration for us. Well, they came and told me a day before we were supposed to have service that you can't have it, that the government of this village has voted. And we have voted that you cannot have services in that shopping mall. I said, oh, no. I said, why? I said, now what? I said, we have service tomorrow night. Reverend, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. All right, so what did I do? I asked one of the board members. I said, what are we going to do now? He said, what you need to do is just sue them. I said, is that right? I said, now this is a lawyer. Now he's talking out of his perspective. I said, well, now, how long is that going to take? He said, that could take about 5 years. I said, 5 years? Man, I got to be in there tomorrow night. Then I asked another guy, what are we going to do? He said, well, what you do is there's a place up north here. I've seen it. And what we can do is rebuild some things. Now, he was a contractor. So each person was speaking out of their natural mind. Come on now. And then I said, no, no. I went home, went to bed early that night, and I got up early that next morning because I had to talk with the Lord. So listen, whatever seems impossible to you is a deception. So what did I do? I went to bed early, got up in the morning, got up early and prayed in the Holy Ghost. Because I'm a hook up with heaven. I'm a hook up with all wisdom. I'm a hook up with the kingdom of God. And so as I hooked up and I did, and I started interpreting what I spoke, and God spoke to me. He said, all right, go. In Romans chapter 13, take verses 1-5, have your secretary to type it up in big letters so you won't have to use your glasses, and go call a meeting with the mayor and read Romans chapter 13. Now, the natural mind would want to say, now what is that going to do? But I got more sense than that. I know when God says something, it is the word of the kingdom. And his word won't return void. So what did I do? I said, all right. I said, I went, typed it up, called a meeting. They said, the mayor is busy. I said, listen, I already have a ministry in this village. I demand to see the mayor. And they said, well, oh, okay, Reverend, let me check and see. Came back in a few minutes, called me back, said, the mayor will see you for 15 minutes. I said, all right, praise God. Now I'm taking ownership now. All right, praise God. So, and you can't get to your destiny without a battle. And so what happened is, I said, all right, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. So I got a meeting. I went in to see the mayor. I said, Reverend, come on in, sit down. I sat down. How you doing, small talk? Now what can I help you with? I said, we'd like to go and have service in that facility tomorrow night. We have voted, the council has already voted, and they have passed the law. Hear what I'm saying now? I'm talking about the power you have to reverse laws. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference what the law is. See, the kingdom rules over everything. Now, am I talking to the right people? His kingdom rules over all. So what happened? That I started talking. Now, while I was trying to talk, a lady who was in housekeeping was vacuuming. And she was in the vacuum cleaner right there in the office where we were. Ooh. I said, this ain't nothing but the devil right here. But hold it, I'm cool because I know God is with me. See, if he sends you somewhere, he's going to go So what did I do? I sat there and talked soft, and she said, wait a minute. Darling, can you come back with the vacuuming? We'll be done in just a minute. You can come back then. And the lady thought she pulled the cord out the wall like she was insulted. She, not wrapping the cord on. I said, the devil is all over that lady, but he ain't no match for the power of God. See, you can't get mad. Somebody said, well, they're prejudiced. Folks, let me tell you something. This prejudice is all over everywhere. God told me that no man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life. As he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, as he was with Abraham, as he was with Esther, as he was with Joseph, as he was with Samson, as he was with David, as he was with Daniel, as he was with Paul, he gonna be with me? I said, listen, it's always somebody that don't like you. Let me tell you, your cousin don't like you. You just don't know it. So what happened? Sit down. Listen, folks. The church is the most powerful institution in the world. Watch this. Ever. There has never been anything like the church before we came, and there'll not be anything like it after we leave. You read Joel chapter 2. You are a powerful somebody. So what happened? She said, so I got to that verse. I read that verse. Mayor jumped up. All the blood looked like to drain out of Mayor's face. Mayor said, wait a minute, can you wait here a minute? I said, yeah, I ain't got nowhere else to go. I'll stay right here. And she went in there to the building commissioner and then came back out. Reverend, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what to do. She said, can I call you in about 2 hours? I said, yeah, I'll be around. I don't have anything else to do. Now, we had to have a meeting in there that night. I said that night. And so what happened? Called me and said this, Reverend, I'm going to keep everybody away now. I'm going to keep the police away and I'll hold them back. You go in there and have your meeting tonight. Now, Reverend, this is the only night I'm going to let you go in there. I said, lady, I didn't say that, but I wanted to say that's what you think. I went in there, had that meeting before the next Sunday. The laws had shifted. I said, something about to shift. Now sit down. Say supernatural. See, to get the supernatural, you must expect the supernatural. I'm going to say it again because we're going to cancel some debts tonight. To get the soup, come on, you must what? Expect, I'm going to say it again. To get the supernatural, you must what? Expect. If you don't expect it, you won't get it. Now, you're going to expect the supernatural. Tonight, I said, you're going to expect the supernatural. All right. So what do? We got the shopping mall. What do? Build it out. What's happening? Kmart, Taco Bell, all those people pay us rent. Now, what's happening? What's happening with that old Bible? What's happening with that Bible is Jubilee. That everything is going back into the hands of its rightful ownership. I said everything. I said everything. Now, when I say everything, I'm leaving out nothing. Say amen to that. Now, when I say, come, I'm taking you out there now. I'm taking you with me. I said, I'm taking you with me. Now, what does he say? We stopped at the last verse. All things are yours. Now, let's put that in the first person. All things are mine. Let's say it again. All things are mine. Now, I didn't say you take an attitude that my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. That is not the attitude. We got that shopping mall. Say amen. Amen. And he said, Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. And we went through that last night, didn't we? Didn't we? I said, I'm yours. I'm your ministry gift. I'm yours. I am yours. You can pull out of me what you need. There was a member of our church, and he said, Pastor, I'm glad you preached what you preached about two Sundays ago. I said, why? He said, I saved, I guess, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said, did you? He said, yeah, I sold that stock. He said, you told me to sell it. I said to myself, I didn't say nothing about selling no stock. Now, what I preached, the Holy Ghost heard him hear something. Come on now, because he's pulling now. I'm more than a preacher. I'm his prophet. I'm that vessel that God's going to use for this moment to get his anything that's troubling him to get it off of him. So what happened? He said, I sold it. I said, did you? He said, and right after I sold it, it hit zero. I said, did it? I said, can you tell me what the name of that stock was? He said, I don't know whether you know it. It's called Enron. Listen, your man of God, your woman of God can stand up here preaching. It ain't no time to just say, ooh, isn't he a good preacher? No. He gonna give you something to get you out of debt. He gonna give you something to get your kids saved. Sit down. But not only Paul, Apollos, and Cephas, Bill Winston, T.D. Jakes, but also, the world is yours. Now, when he says the world is yours, watch this. You get the good, but you also, come on, help me. Get the bad. No. The drug problem is the church's problem. Come on. Listen now. We got to take ownership. Come on now. We got to take ownership. The unemployment problem? Our problem. So what happened with the mall? Hired between 400 and 500 people. Gave them jobs. Come on now. I'm saying the world, come on, the world is yours. You see, God not only wants to bless you, but he wants you to be a blessing. That's part of the deal, folks. You should just get a map and just count off. Let's see, I'm going to count off this many blocks in my neighborhood, south, north, east, and west, and I'm going to pray that nobody in that block be illiterate, nobody in that block be jobless, nobody in that block. Isn't that a powerful thing? All right. So as we look at this, what am I saying? I'm saying the enemy wants you and I to be so heavenly minded that we just want to get saved and beam me up, Spock. That's not the idea. The idea is that you get born again and then you transform this earth. You bring heaven on this earth instead of people experiencing hell on earth. Say amen to that. And you can do that. This is part of the deal. Are you with me now so far? So, what is he saying? He's saying, all things are yours. Lord have mercy. I don't want to stop there yet. Can I keep talking about that? Now this, look at this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you will. Oh, I'm telling you. All right, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right, look what he says here. Let's look at verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly what? Cities, which thou buildest not. Houses full of what? All good things. Keep going. Things that you didn't fill. Now, I'm talking about God is going to do this for you. Now, here's the deal. Whatever God's going to do for you, he has already done. I'll say it again. Whatever God's going to do for you, he has what? Already done. One more time. Whatever God's going to do for you, he has what? Already done. Now, I want you to take this the right way. Y'all grown up enough to hear what I got to say here. He said, as far as you can see, I'm going to give you. And I think and believe we're in a season of the greatest demonstration of the agreement between heaven and earth that's ever been seen since the building of Solomon's temple. I believe we're about to see some things happen in the body of Christ that's going to make the world faint. Now, God sent them to the land of abundance. And this was the land of milk and what? Honey. Now, this land that he sent them to was the best land. I said best. And you and I were designed for the best. It was also the land of abundance. That there was abundance and no lack. You and I were designed for abundance. Now, stay with me on this. Let me give you an example. This man had a meeting. God told him to have a meeting. He had a big meeting, gospel meeting. He received the offering, and the offering wasn't enough to cover the expenses for the place that he was. He said, God, Lord, this is not enough. He said, count it again. He went back there. Now, stay with me. He counted it again. And he had his counters to count it again. And they counted it, and it was more than it was when they counted it before. He said, God, they counted it again, and it's still not enough. He said, tell them to count it again. This is a true story. He went back and counted it again. It was more than it was the second time. He said, God, it's still not enough. He said, tell him to go back and count it again. He counted it again, and it was more than enough. Now, I'm here to tell you, all things are yours. The word own means to have legal or rightful title to. Say amen to that. It means to have legal or rightful title to. That's what own means. You can look it up in Webster's 1828 dictionary, and that's what it says. Now, we are owners with stewardship responsibilities. So all things are yours. It doesn't make any difference what it is. If these things are needed by you for whatever good thing or whatever you need it for, you can have access to it. Now stay with me, stay with me. Now you gotta own things, because you can't sow something you don't own. You know, some people come to the church, "Pastor, I wanna sow my car." I said, "All right, praise God. Now I got 20 more payments still on it, but I wanna sow it." I said, "Honey, you can't sow that, you don't own that." Now, you gotta own it. Now, we read the first day how to own it. We read it out of an amplified translation. Bring me an amplified translation down here. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I'll say it again. Now, faith is the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof. Faith is the proof. Now, when you show God some proof, then he gets involved in evicting Satan off of it. Say amen to that. You see, it's the devil holding the best. He's tried to give the church crumbs. He tried to give us, let us live on leftovers. He tried to leftover everything. And I'm saying that's no longer. I'm putting an end to that. Tonight we put an end to that. The best belongs to you. Now, here's what I'm saying. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm going to go by what heaven said. This book is a fourth dimensional document. It is your Bill of Rights. It is telling you what's true and what's yours. And all things are yours. Now, that money may be in a bank account under somebody else's name, but if they're not in the family of God, say amen here. And I'm here to tell you right now, we're about to see some of the biggest wealth transfers that ever been seen on the face of the earth. Come here. Hold that. Here's $100 for you. Buy yourself some gas. Now, let me tell you something. Stay with me now. I am not talking about robbery. See, it takes guts to preach this. But I ain't no punk preacher. I'm not trying. Come on, I ain't trying to make friends with the enemy. I'm here to take everything he's got. I said, I'm here to take everything he's got. Saints, we're about to go somewhere. I said, we're about to go somewhere. Now, just stand where you are. Notice what he said here. He said, glory to God, over in Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment and hate robbery. So God is not going to rob somebody. He's not going to rob somebody. What God's going to do is he's going to do it legally. Whatever he's going to transfer into your hands, it's going to be legal. I said it's going to be legal. God is about to bring wealth into the body of Christ. Why? Because it's been held up. You see, the Bible says the wealth of the sinner, come on, is laid up for the dead. Didn't it say that? Now, so the sinner has a ministry. This man one time said he was in New York, and it said he was waiting on a cab. It was kind of raining, and the cab came pull up, and the doorman opened the door to the cab for him. But another man behind him that had alligator shoes, I mean, they were so fresh, they were snapping. And he had alligator bag. I mean, he was dressed to the teeth. He boom, went right in the cab and got in the cab. And the doorman was kind of embarrassed. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, excuse me, sir. I don't know, sir. He said, no, let him go. Let him go. He's working for me. I'm telling you right now that the wealth has been gathered up. I know y'all ain't excited about it, but I'm excited about it. God is not talking about robbing anybody. He's saying, I'm going to transfer to you what is needed, especially on this debt cancellation here. We're about to see an open heaven. Say amen to that. All right, let me show you one more scripture. He told Joshua this in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into your hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Notice, because Joshua could see it, God now was going to deliver it. I said, because you can see it, God is about to deliver it. There's a yoke-destroying, burden-removing anointing. There is a debt-canceling anointing on this church. I decree it's on this church, and it's on this church tonight. It's on the listening audience. It's on you right now. This is your jubilee. This is a time. Come on. He might just cancel it. He might give you the money to pay it off. He might do anything. Whichever way he wants to do it, let him do it. But you're going to get to the promised land. One of your promises is that you're supposed to be the head and not the tail. You're supposed to be the lender. Come on. Now, let me give you one more, and we're going to cancel that debt. This is found in Romans chapter 4. Here's what he said in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Notice, Abraham and his what? Seed. You are the seed of Abraham. You're going to be the heir of the what? World. Are y'all with me? Also in verse 16, pardon me. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now notice what I'm saying here. I'm saying that not only were you supposed to be born again, but bread comes with this. I said bread comes with this. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and came through the Red Sea was a kind of water baptism. When they came out on the other side, what happened to Pharaoh? Pharaoh got what? Drowned. Notice the debt was what? Canceled. I'm here to tell you, when you got water baptized, when you got born again, when you crossed over, that debt, come on, got canceled. Say amen to that. How about the time when Jesus, they came to Peter and said, does your master pay taxes? And Peter said, well, I don't know. I think so. And he goes in and talks to Jesus. Jesus said, Peter, go fishing. And Peter went fishing. And he said, the first fish that you pull up, look at his mouth. Come on. Come on. Your money is in a fish's mouth. Wait a minute. How about Jesus? Jesus said, listen. He said, now go in town and you're going to see a donkey. And that donkey is going to be tied up. Now that donkey has never been ridden. Now, what I want you to do is untie him and bring him here. I'm saying some of your stuff been tied up. But we fixing to untie. And if they ask you, what are you doing with this? Tell them the Lord has what? Need of it. telling you, we're about to build a kingdom like the kingdom has never been built in the last 400 years. Not only that, let me give you a true story. It's a story of a monk. And the monk was out, and they were in the monastery, and the light and the storm came, and he was still out in the garden, and the lightning struck the monk, hit him in the head, split it wide open. And monk died instantly. True story. And what did he do? They put him in the morgue. God came to the monk and said, I'm not done with you. He said, I'm going to put you back together, and I want you to go and witness to so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, the monk did that. He put his head back together. He pushed himself out of that slab in the morgue, put a sheet around him. I guess it was probably late at night, and the guy was sitting up in there. But he came out of that place, got himself some clothes. He said this to the monk. This is what God said. Go to such and such a Cadillac dealership and tell and ask for so-and-so and tell him I said to give you a brand new car. The monk obeyed God. Say amen here. And what did he do? The monk went to the Cadillac dealership. Notice he didn't send him to a Schwinn bicycle dealership. Come on, come on. He didn't swim out. I'm saying he sent him to something. Come on. I'm talking about the kingdom of God is extravagant. Now, I know you can't handle, some of y'all can't handle this, but I'm going to tell you how the Garden of Eden is. So what did he do? He asked for the proprietor, the owner. They said, he's not here. He said, can I help you? He said, no, I'm supposed to see him. He said, what do you want to see him about? He said, I want to see him about a car. He said, oh, I can put you in one. Come on, let me talk to you. He said, no, I'm supposed to see him. He said, no, but I can get the deal ready or something. He said, no, sir, I'm supposed to see him. He waited. He said, well, sit in here. You'll be back from lunch shortly. He came back from lunch. The man came in there. He said, hey, there's a guy in there want to see you about a car. He said, he's persistent. He just wants to see you. He said, fine. He said, come in. So the man, the owner, thought he had a deal. He goes in there and saw the guy. Said, what can I do for you? Met him and said, come on in the office. Sit down in the chair. And the owner sat down behind the desk. And he said, what can I do for you? He said, the Lord talked to me. And the Lord told me to come to see you. And you're going to give me a car. This is what the owner did. And he put his head down on the desk, crying like a baby, opened up the top drawer, said, the Lord came to me in a dream last night, and here the keys, it's out under the blue Cadillac right out on the end. I'm telling you, supernatural, supernatural, supernatural. Wait a minute. Let me give you one more. I'm out of time. Let me give you one more. One more is what a friend of mine, God called me, preacher friend in L.A. He said, Pastor, you got to come see this house. I said, what happened? He said, a man gave me this house. I said, how did it go down? He said, well, the man said, one night I got a strange phone call. And the man was kind of hollering on the phone. Said, and some said, give you this house. And he said, I thought he was some kind of crank, so I hung up in his face. He said, but 2 weeks later, he called me back. He said, I'm in Las Vegas, and something told me, get up and give that man your house. He said, now you go come and see this house. Talking to the preacher. This is a true story. I went to see the house. And so what did he do? He got up. He said, he gave me the address. He said, so after Sunday services, my wife drove out there, and we pulled up at the gate. He said the house was 120 yards from the gate, 150 yards from the gate. He said, then I buzzed the gate. The man said, oh, you're here. The gate's open. He came in. He pulled up at the house. He said, all we can see, he said the two double doors were open, and all we could see was a waterfall in the house falling over an onyx stone. He said, and the man said, oh, thank God, you're here. You're here. Now, the man was not a believer. He didn't know God. He was out in Vegas, he said, doing something that I don't even want to mention. I'm just telling you right now, God can make a man get up because he still had over the heathen. And what did he do with him? He said, okay. He said, all right, I want to show you around. Showed him all the elephant tusks from Africa. Showed him all these things. Showed him the coach house that was 3-bedroom with 2 garages. He showed him everything. He said, well, how much is the house? And this was some years ago. He said, well, the last appraisal was $7.5 million. He said, but here's what you got to do. Give me your house and I'll give you this one. Now, the preacher had a house, and the value of it was $250,000, and he had a mortgage on it. This man had a $7.5 million house paid in full and traded for the same. I'm here to tell you, God is about to bless you supernaturally. Saints of God, here's what all I want you to take back with you from my time with you. You're an owner with stewardship responsibilities. Watch this. Paul, Apollos, and Cephas are yours. The world is yours. Watch this. Life and death are yours. Now, what do I mean by that? No longer can the grim reaper sneak up in your room at night and snatch your life out. That you're over with that. Matter of fact, I cancel all premature death right now. I cancel it in the name of Jesus. All right. The devil can't kill you no more. I said the devil can't kill you. Last story, and I'm out. I want you to do something. It's about a man named E.V. Hill. Poor kid, raised in Mississippi. Didn't have much. Father had passed, gone on to be with the Lord. Mama's trying to raise all them kids. He finished grade school. The deacons came out and said, Sister Hill, let the boy help you now because he's getting big and so forth. He's an older child. She said, no, my boy's going to school. They said, Sister Hill, now come on, get in your right mind now. You need help. Yeah, but my boy's going to school. Now, he had graduated number one in his class from his 8th grade class. Oh, by the way, he was the only one in his class. Watch this. Then he went on to high school and finished again number one in his class. Oh, by the way, he was the only one in his class. Now they said, Sister Hill, you got to let the boy help you. Now, this is it. I'm done. No, he can't help me. I want him to go on to school. She wanted him to go to college. Now, watch this. She didn't have no money. She was very poor. Now, watch this. So what happened? She then waited. September, he got accepted up in North Carolina. And that's what he did. The bus came, she had about $13, $17, something like that, and she gave it to him. She had one of those old suitcases, put the clothes in it, wrapped it up with some twine. Some of y'all don't even know what twine is, but some of y'all do. Wrapped it up with some twine. This last story, I'm out. And notice what happened. She put him on the trailway bus. She said, son, here's $17.50. That's all mama got, but I'll be praying for you. Now, he's heard mama's prayers before, because when they didn't have any food, they go down to the neighbor's house, and the neighbor says, Sister Hill, would you and the kids like something to eat? She said, no, we have plenty, thank you. We're on the way home. He said, we want to say, we ain't got no food at home. What's she talking about? Now, watch this. And every time they'd sit around that old table, and when they sit around that table, she'd start praying. And next thing you know, she'd set the table just like they had plenty of food. Next thing you know, boom, boom, they hear something on the front step. They go out on the front step. She said, go see what that is. Go out there. There's this whole sack of butter beans out there, a side of ham, all this kind of stuff. Angels will just drop it off and keep going. Come on, say supernatural. Come on. Now, what happened? What happened next? He got to school. Got his courses, got his books. But now he's down about $2, $3. But he's in line to pay his tuition. Now, understand, they didn't take no credit cards that time. So he stepped one step The devil said, get out of line, you fool. And the other here, he heard, I'll be praying for you. Watch this, made another step. Come on, you ain't gonna step without a battle. So you just may as well get ready. Get out of line, you fool. I'll be praying for you. Step another step. Get out of line. You're making a fool out of yourself. Son, I'll be praying for you. He got to be the second one in line. A big man came over. Excuse me. Are you healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. Sir? Are you Evie healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. Sir, are you Evie healed? Yes, sir. Get out of line. Sir, my mother told I said, get out of line. He said his head dropped. He got out of line. The man pulled him over in the corner. He opened up a portfolio. He said, Hill, I don't know what's going on here, but I got a full 4-year scholarship for you, all your books paid, and so forth and so on. You may not know how God's going to do it, but some debts are about to be canceled in this house. Say amen to that. Did y'all get something out of this tonight? Man, I'm telling you. Take your seats, please. God's about to set some captives free. I said, you about to be set free. All the thing I want to do is I just want you to give Bishop the reports. As he's saying, come back in. I want you to be able to line up there and give him report. Now, let me tell you when the debt cancellations are going to start. When do you think they're going to start? Now. You know, now the reason why you are shouting already, because you can see the end. The transfer has begun.